Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Turning Doors Live. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are back again for our 300-somethingth week. Justin is the numbers man, not me. And here we are again. And every time Justin and I walk towards us, me sitting down, putting the rest of my life down for this time, I think, my goodness, thank gosh I have this. It's like, I get to just be here. Have a conversation with you in all its simplicity and complicatedness of whatever we're wrangling with. But it's such a self-sustaining, I guess is the word, practice to be in this conversation and have this time. And I also get the sense from people that I speak to, Justin, that that translates to other people too. Like to listen to this requires putting some things down and being here with us, whether it's listening later or live with us or whatever people are doing and wherever people are, there's a kind of practice around it. And when I speak to people, they say, oh, I listen on a Monday or I listen on a Tuesday while I'm doing this, or there's a kind of rhythm for both us and everybody who listens. So I'm really grateful for the power of that and the intentionality of it and the need to put other things aside to really listen and be here. So I'm feeling very grateful to that today as I walked here with my cup of tea and feeling slightly disheveled from a night of waking up 100 times. This feels like a big kind of, what's it, when water appears in the desert kind of feeling, like a spring of some kind that I'm walking towards, where there's going to be almost, I think I can say, guaranteed refreshment and revitalization and life. Just even sitting here before we even started talking, I can feel that flowing. So thank you for being here, and thank you everyone for being our excuse. All the other humans in the world being part of our excuse to be here together talking like this.
Yes, thank you, Lizzie. It's very good to be here. And I'm just thinking now about what you just said about when we do something where we have to put everything else aside. And actually, I think that we humans long for that, is for the opportunity to really bring ourselves fully to one thing, to be up to one thing. And so many of us have trouble doing that, partly because the world demands so much of us. If you've got any kind of role, taking care of other people or supporting other people or just making a life work, almost always our attention gets split in different ways. And then it's not helped by the surround of, particularly of technology that does a very, very good job of splitting our attention too. So we live these days in a real attention economy, which is calling for our attention all the time. So isn't it a relief, I think, sometimes to have moments of simplicity and directness where we can just bring ourselves fully to one thing? So I'm very glad that we get to do that. The other thing is, I think that we humans, we want to be known as well. And one of the things for me about being in this conversation with you is a way of finding ways to say, to listen to you and to know you as the unique person that you are right now in this moment here with me, and also to be known to myself for whatever feels true. And you get to know me, and I get to know me, and we both get to know. And I think that we, it's another thing that we humans long for. So I'm thinking again about we, you, Lizzie, of course, you know this, but I'm saying this for everyone else. We're a week into the start of our current new year of our year-long coaching program that we run, which is really about so much more than coaching. I mean, it's about coaching, but it's really about humanness and living. And I was thinking whilst you were talking about how the simple act of being present and dedicating ourselves to one another is what makes coaching possible too. We have to sit down with another person and really attend just here and not to everything else that's going on, and to really know and to be known. So it's like a great combination of that. So it's our 350th week. And early on, we would have been in wild celebration that we got to 50, and then we got to 100, and then we got to 150. And now it's like, 350. Just like, it's very good to still be doing this. So we have a source, as we always do, And you can always find the source in our Facebook group for those of you who are members there, and you can join there. Just search for Turning Towards Life. We always post the sources and the videos and everything, and there's a chance to be in conversation there. It's also in the notes for the podcasts, and you can find it on the turningtowards.life website, where all the videos are and all of the sources. And also there, if you want to, you can subscribe to get them in by email, and you can also, if you want, support us. So if you're someone who is being moved or touched or supported or helped by the things that we're up to, or if you just want to support us, have a look out on turningtowards.life. There's a support us button, and you can metaphorically buy us a cup of coffee and support this endeavor, which is, I always think it's a big endeavor that we do this, Lizzie. And so you're very welcome to support us. And of course, all of you who are with us are supporting us simply by being with us too. And so this source this week is by Nora Bateson. The title of the poem is, we think it's pronounced Simathesi, and it's a word coined by Nora Bateson to express something, and then this poem comes with it. And I want to say thank you to Sahar, who introduced me to this poem. And it goes like this. Each one of us is a crooked tree reaching for water and light, bending ourselves around obstacles, scary thoughts, hurtful moments, darkness, and thirst, finding a way to breathe in the sun and hold the soil. Our branches are kinked and twisted because that is what it took to be here. The ways of learning to be in our worlds have shaped responses. Our many experiences are speaking through every gesture, our loves and broken paths, a tenderness, a criticism. Learning always, yearning always in crooked beauty. To be a home for those who may find comfort in the asymmetry of our belonging. A nest cradling new life, tucked into an old log teeming with creatures, learning to be in each other's reshaping.
Thank you, Justin. Simathesi by Nora Bateson. Each one of us is a crooked tree, reaching for water and light, bending ourselves around obstacles, scary thoughts, hurtful moments, darkness and thirst, finding a way to breathe in the sun and hold the soil. Our branches are kinked and twisted because that's what it took to be here. The ways of learning to be in our worlds have shaped responses. Our many experiences are speaking through every gesture. Our loves and broken paths, a tenderness, a criticism, learning always, yearning always in crooked beauty. To be a home for those who may find comfort in the asymmetry of our belonging, a nest cradling new life. Tucked into an old log teeming with creatures, learning to be in each other's reshaping.
See, there's so much in here. And actually, as you were reading, I was very grateful for the sense of allowing myself to be a crooked tree with branches kinked and twisted, because that is what it took to be here. To me, that's the part that's most touching to me this morning. It's so easy to imagine that, at least for me, I'm guessing it is for other people too, that it's so easy to imagine that somehow, and it's a bit hard to express this, somehow I'm meant to be some kind of perfectly formed something, knowing how to do everything and moving effortlessly through the world, and I ought to be capable and able and never make a mistake and always be somehow excellent. And I guess those are messages that I internalized in all different ways through my life in various ways. But something like the other way of saying it is, it can be hard to remember that the person that I am today and the person that you are, but I'm starting close in with me, wasn't a pre-existing something. Like I am the one I am because of everything that's happened and everything and the way I've engaged in everything, all the people and all the experiences and the culture I was born in. And so it's such a relief to go, yeah, of course, my branches are kinked and twisted because that is what it took to be here. I've got a unique shape and it is just mine. And it's messy and beautiful and certainly far from elegant a lot of the time. And that is what it took to be here. So that's the first part of it. It's a relief. And also, I think this is the only thing I'm going to say now, actually. I realize there's another part that's in my mind. I want to recognize the absolute wonder of the complexity and kinked and twistedness that it has taken to grow into the world. Like if I can drop the stories of some kind of image of how I should be and really do what I would do with I was standing with a very, very someone who is very, very dear to me actually earlier this week, Lizzie, and we were getting ourselves close to really up close to gnarled old trees and feeling their beauty and their magnificence. When we can do that for ourselves and with one another. I don't even know how to end that sentence. I think what I want to say is it's absolutely necessary that we do that with ourselves and with one another. That we start by understanding that our gnarledness and our twistedness is also a form of necessary beauty that we could not have got here without.
The really beautiful thing that I'm seeing, Justin, from what you're saying, is that in the gnarledness, and Nora maybe comes to this at the end, is that in the recognition of our gnarledness, your gnarledness, my gnarledness, and all of our gestures being because of every experience that we've had, we become shapes that are our own shape. And our own shape is crooked and gnarled. And then that's where a nest could be made. Like a nest can't, I mean, I'm sure a nest could be anywhere in a way, but I was just envisaging a nest being super held by a curve of some kind, like a twist that had to go round something in order to find the light. So each time there's a piece of light to be reached for because growth happens, there might be a twist because we have to find a way around something. And then in that twist, what a beautiful cradle that is for a nest where something could be born. So in your gnarledness, maybe I get to build a nest for something else to be born because of the way the shaping of your twist helps me to build something in order to feel held. And of course, that is my experience of being in relationship with people in the way that you and I are working, Justin. Because if I didn't have my gnarledness, there would be no way of holding another person's gnarledness. So, this mutual understanding of the twistedness that we are, the way that we've kind of contorted ourselves to grow and to become what we are now in response to the light, like a tree. I love that we keep talking about the trees. And then this vision of a nest in there, nests, many nests, like that tree that you were talking about just now, had me think of just how many opportunities for nests to be built in it there must be if it's that old and that gnarled. All of those little crookednesses, all of those little nooks where the beginnings of a nest could land, like a long stick could reach over from one side of a curve to the other to be the beginning of a nest. But only because it was twisted is that possibility available. So I'm really I'm loving this kind of metaphorical way of us describing what humans can be to one another. That in our own journeys, in our own twisting and reaching and finding and getting round things and making our shape the shape that it is inside of those twists and turns, things get born, which is a really different way of talking about humans than, oh, we're all messed up and there's no hope or something. Like, what a different story to tell about our stories and our experiences and where we've come from and what they can be for other people. And I remember, Justin, I mean, it's still happening now, the different moments of my appreciation and realization that whatever my difficulties have been and are currently are shapes for nesting to happen, both for myself and others. And what a relief that is, you know, that there's not a kind of hopelessness about my experiences, but they are opportunities to be in relationship with others that are healing and growing and helpful. And that goes for all of us, if that's the story we begin to tell about it, which in a way is the gift of this, our year-long program, is that we get to meet those places in us that are the twisted and crooked branches, and that they become helpful sites for nesting rather than ways that we beat ourselves up or tell ourselves there's something horribly wrong with us and stop there. You know, maybe that's part of the process, but we don't have to stop there. There's a way that these things become how we can be with one another and sources of connection and realness and holding that all of us beings need from one another.
I'm thinking quite a lot now whilst you're talking, Lizzie, about how much we need to locate our lives in stories of meaningfulness, how much meaning matters to us, that when we think, or when we live. Some of the predominant stories of the wider world culture at the moment will say, life is meaningless, you're just a thing, a lump of matter. The best you can do is sort of scrabble by, or maybe have a bit of fun, or maybe, I think, really shallow things, because really you're just. I heard, I think it might have been a quote from Stephen Hawking, the physicist. I hope I'm not misquoting him. I think he may have said, we're just life on Earth is just a bit of chemical scum on the surface of a ball of rock hurtling through space. And that's one way of looking at life. I think it expresses a commitment. I think that story expresses a commitment to a sort of way of really reducing ourselves to nothing. It's got a very strong commitment to the nothingness of everything. And it's not surprising that, and I think it's an exemplar of a big story of our times that's been going on for many decades. And perhaps it's not surprising that if we feel like there's just nothing, our lives are completely vacuous and shallow, and then we have to suffer or do all this suffering in the middle of them, that we might then hold ourselves to crazy standards as well. We might go, well, the least I can do is to be perfect, or to rise to the top, or to be famous, or, at least then I'll claw some measure of meaning out of my life. And both of those, I think they are such, there's a word for it. I can't think of what the word is, but it like shallow. They're insufficient. They're deeply, deeply insufficient for us. And many of us are living in a time where bigger stories that would sustain us have been destroyed and trampled and undone and all that kind of thing. So the reason I'm saying all of that is to really pick up on what you were saying about nesting. Because if we can start to see as Nora Bateson says in the middle of this poem, that we have had to learn to be in our world in the midst of all the experience of bending ourselves around obstacles and reaching for water and light and dealing with scary thoughts and hurtful moments. That all of that, we each had to learn to be in the world as it was, and that that's shaped responses in us that mean that, it's a brilliant line, our many experiences are speaking through every gesture. That the way that you are and the way that I am is an expression of a whole world that's been made because we had to meet the world because that's what being a human is. And if we can start to see that the beauty that's made there is deeply, deeply meaningful, and one way it's meaningful is that it always might be a nest cradling new life. And I'm not talking about birth of children here. Actually, I'm talking about the new life that comes, Lizzie, because I am the shape that I am. And that if I can see that, see my crooked beauty, I might get to be a nest that can cradle new life in you from our meeting, as you are for me. And that's a really meaningful endeavor, that the unique ways that I've learned to be in the world might then be in affordance for your something to grow in you, as it is for something to grow in me, and that life is always bursting forth through us and it happens in between us. And it can only happen when we give up the story that we're nothing, or that, or the that's that one, or the sort of the self-critical, self-punishing story of, well, I'll only mean something if I, you know, I look perfect in a particular way, or I fit in this particular way. Actually, the extraordinarily rich complexity and unfinishedness of us can be a home for one another, and we can be that for one another.
I'm feeling very joyful at this conversation, Justin, and really quite moved by, like you said, that amazing line about many experiences are speaking through every gesture, and how when you spoke to that line, I thought, oh my goodness. These many experiences are not just my kind of formative experiences, as it were. Like when I was young and teenageness and the tumult of family disarray and trauma and goodness knows what. But I've also, and all of us has an opportunity to then bring forth experiences that shape us, that have our own consciousness and life force involved in them in a powerful way that has something to do with me and what I intend. And I'm not sure why that's so revelatory to me in this moment, but I think I sometimes relate to this kind of, you know, the way we've learned to be in our worlds has shaped our responses as if it's like this kind of chunk of history or something that doesn't include all the ways I've made choices for myself since I awakened to my formativeness. And so I'm just feeling the beauty of all of the people, experiences, books, teachers that come across our paths that interrupt that history in some way, that show us that there's a way that we get to cultivate our lives, that we get to honor and look at and see all of that. And then in whatever timing happens, we then get to go, ah, so this is how I've been shaped. Now, what's my onward shaping also going to be? And of course, I'm not going to remove all of the shaping that I've received in my life, in those extremely formative, like even, you know, being a baby and goodness knows all of that stuff on the journey. And that mixed in with whatever, you know, we were talking at the beginning about spaces that are just dedicated to one thing and what's possible in there and how that shapes us then, so that we get to be adding to the shapage as we go. with our intentionality and our relationships and the complexity of all of that, I feel really like breathed into by that possibility that we get to continue on with that and nothing gets thrown out. It all gets to be the crookedness. And then in response to the crookedness and new crookednesses that arrive that don't feel like within my power, I also have my power too to shape things and to create and consciously see where the light is and move myself towards the light, consciously see where the earth is and move myself towards the earth. And everything is a mixture of those things, like really all the experiences of my life, not just the ones that I find my wounds in or my difficulties in, but the ones where someone's come along and said something, and I've gone, oh dear, the world's just changed because you said that. Now, how do I be? Now, who am I? Now, how do I step? Now, how do I be myself given what you've said feels true in my experience? And the thing that you were saying about being a piece of chemical scum on the earth, I kind of laughed a bit because it's so opposite to my experience of being a human being. I really don't feel like a piece of chemical scum. I have all these like nuanced feelings and perceptions and indescribable sense of relationship with humans and what gets born in a conversation and holding multitudes of things at once. And like that feels so significant as a part of my experience of being a human being, that it's kind of laughable that it would be random or laughable that I would be tiny or, and I know those things are true too, but they're not the only thing that are true by a massive, massive stretch. So I'm feeling grateful for that and also really in this moment kind of, I don't know, robust in believing myself that I have these experiences of life that are real. And one of those realnesses is this relationship too. This doesn't feel like it's made of chemical scum, this conversation. It feels like it's made of like nuance and history and experience and difficulty and wonder and humor and practical things.
There you go. There's such a deep path to meaningfulness here. If I take what you just said and then add Nora Bateson's last two lines, tucked into an old log teeming with creatures, that's us, learning to be in each other's reshaping. That we're not just random bits of chemical scum interacting with other random bits of chemical scum. We are, as you were just saying, Lizzie, we've both been shaped by what's happened in our lives, but we're also active participants in it. You said something really wonderful about the way in which we take our place. We play our part in responding to all the things that happen to us, and that shapes us. And then, as Nora Bateson said, and then we are active in one another's reshaping. And what a world of possibility there is for us to actively see ourselves this way, to see ourselves and one another in our crooked beauty that's been made from everything that's happened and all the ways that we've taken part in it, and that's still happening. That's the thing I took from the last part of what you were saying. It's still going on, it's not finished. So we always have the opportunity to be participants in one another's reshaping. A nest cradling new life. And I know I was having, it's the last thing to say, I was having a very excellent conversation just last week with somebody that I met about coaching, and we were talking about the kinds of coaching that only address getting people to move towards their goals. This is the kind of coaching that does that. And how advancing towards goals can be very, very helpful and very, very necessary. And if it doesn't take into account all of this, we can just keep the same pattern going. That pattern of it's only meaningful when I get to this goal. It's only So we were talking about the joy and the dignity and the sacredness, I think I'm going to say, of participating in one another's reshaping, as that being the commitment, so that life can burst through. So I'm very glad to be up to that, both in this conversation and I know in the shared work that you and I and others are doing in Third Space and beyond. So, Lizzie, thank you again for this 350th conversation, and thank you all of you for being with us, whether you've been with us for the 350 or maybe someone's just pointed you our way. We're very, very glad to have you with us and really want to encourage you, if this is of value to you, also please to share it with other people. Maybe think about leaving us a little review on the podcast platform or something that you use, because that also spreads the word about this so it can reach people who it would be of benefit to. And even if you do none of those things and you were just with us for this time, thank you, and thank you, Lizzie. And we will, all being well, be back for 351 next week.
Justin.
Bye.